The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap, too, and at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. And what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid. Hurry up. The store's closing.
Come on.
Listen, little boy. We've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? What's a football? Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out.
Football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no!
Okay,
what was I doing?
Wake up, stupid!
Wake up! No!
No, I want an officer right under cover, and I shoot you in a jet with my laser rifle!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas.
17 days for Christmas shopping, 17 days to fill the stock. 17 days for Christmas shopping, only got 17 more. Only got 17
more. Hi, did you hear what the man said? Only 17 shopping days left till Christmas.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hi! We're the Commodores.
And I'm William King.
I'm Lionel Richie.
I'm Thomas McLaren.
I'm Alan Williams.
I'm Walter Clive.
And I'm Ronald LaPree.
And we'd like to say to all of our friends, have a merry, merry Christmas
and a happy new year.
It is Tuesday, December 8th, 2015, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Oh, it's the best damn soap in the world at BubbleGenius.com. Get all of your holiday soaps. Also, they've got some Hanukkah soap. If you go to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Bob and Chez, you can find out about Bubble Genius's Hanukkah soap. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group, attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo, best lawyer ever. Head over to TheBowenLawGroup.com/Bob and Chez and get free legal advice, or click the link in the podcast page. Oh, hi, Chez. I forgot to introduce you.
That's all right. It's unnecessary. I'm just sitting here stewing over your Christmas cheer.
Is it just me? I mean, I play those jingles. I've been playing those jingles.
It is absolutely just you.
I've been playing them every Christmas season for the last 4 years.
Yep. And I love them every year.
I know you do.
I just wait for them with bated breath.
And the countdown ones with the drunken 1950s guy. Even though I love them and I play them every year, I still get a little panicked every time I play those. Only 17 days left. Listen to what the man said. Give me another bourbon, please. Thank you. By the way, our pre-Christmas shows are brought to you by the BobSesta.com Amazon link. Do all of your holiday shopping right now while you're listening to the show at Amazon.com. You can enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at BobSeska.com. So don't type in Amazon.com. Do not. Go to BobSeska.com, click the Amazon link just below the logo, and we get a small commission from everything you buy while you do your shopping. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you. And also make sure to support us at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We're doing a big push, all right? We're at $4,100 on Patreon. We have a couple thousand dollars still to go until we reach our goal. And if we reach that goal, we're doing a new show every weekday. That's what we're planning to do. And so we have a little ways to go. We're well beyond the halfway mark, okay?
You should give us money for Christmas.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's what Jesus would do.
Right, just ask the baby Jesus. I like to picture my Jesus wearing a tuxedo T-shirt because it's informal, but it says I'm here to party, and I like to party too. All right, so we got a lot of news to talk about. Lots of audio to play today.
Oh boy,
the real highlight of today's show, and we're going to get to this in a little bit. The real highlight of today's show is going to be Lindsey Graham. So we're going to play a clip from Lindsey Graham here in just a few seconds.
Although, who knows? You know what? Because honestly, if he's liberated by being in, you know, zero place.
Dead last. Like,
yeah, dead last. So he gets to sort of be a little bit indignant, and he gets to take the high road. If he were, you know, in a fight for his life, and the Republican base were seriously the only thing, like a couple members of the Republican base were the only things that stood between him and the White House, he would be, I have a feeling he'd be a lot crazier.
Yeah. No, so, well, thanks for being Mr. Debbie Downer.
Well, no. Hey, look, no, I that's not actually a Debbie Downer. I'm, you know, it's a bit cynical, but yeah.
No, you're right.
I kind of can't trust them. I wish I could. I wish I could trust them, but what the Republican Party has become, the Republican Party that birthed a nightmare like Donald Trump, just, you know, he's their creation.
Yep. So I guess the latest with Trump, and this is one of the things that Lindsey Graham is reacting to, and we'll play that clip here in a second. Donald Trump said that there should be a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Yeah. Total, that's, complete, and redundant.
Yeah. That's the latest. Well, nothing stops Donald Trump from saying everything twice. Got to get the papers. That's what he does. Donald J. Trump was calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on.
I love how gloriously open-ended that is. Figure out what's going on.
According to Pew Research,
that's such an official statement from Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump stated, quote, "Without looking at the various polling data, it is obvious to anybody the hatred is beyond comprehension. Where this hatred comes from and why we have to determine until we are able to determine and understand this problem and the dangerous threat it poses, our country cannot be the victims of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad and have no sense of reason or respect for human life. If I win the election for president, we are going to make America great again."
Yeah, he has to make sure to put in that branding statement.
We're going to make America great again. So,
by the way, remember to buy a Trump steak. They're available at the Sharper Image. USDA Prime. Actually, no, he wouldn't even say that because that's actually descriptive. Just, they're the greatest steaks you've ever had. Greatest steak.
Yeah, I mean, has anyone on the Republican side, anyone who supports Trump, acknowledged the fact that his Make America Great Again hats are manufactured in China?
I don't think so.
I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, I'm talking now to the Trump trolls listening to the show.
Do we have Trump trolls?
I think we have Trump trolls.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like a sexually transmitted disease. I had unprotected sex last night. Now I've got a case of Trump trolls.
Yep. get out the magnifying glass. You can see the Trump trolls crawling around in my pubic hair.
Got to go to the doctor and have some of these Trump trolls burned off my Jesus Christ. That's going to become a new thing. You know what? We should make that like, who came up with the Santorum definition?
Oh, Dan Savage.
Yeah. We should turn Trump trolls into like a new STD. That's the new definition of Trump trolls. If you have a strange looking growth on your genitalia, you may just have Trump trolls.
Yep.
All right. So that's his latest Islamophobic horse shit, Donald Trump. And now, I mean, everyone's lining up against him except the Trump trolls.
Right.
Donald Trump did a phone interview on Morning Joe this morning.
Yeah, he had a rough morning. in terms of being eaten alive by the press.
Yeah, it wasn't just Scarborough who was, you know, treating him like
It was Scarborough and it was Chris Cuomo.
Wow, I didn't see the Chris Cuomo one.
Yeah, Cuomo beat him up pretty good.
Oh, thank God. I mean, Scarborough was effing great. I mean, Trump was filibustering and doing his Trump thing, his sort of stream of consciousness, word salad. And Joe Scarborough was like, you know what? You keep talking, not letting us ask any questions. We're just going to go to commercial. And then he went to commercial. Here's the
That's awesome.
Here's the clip of Donald Trump on Morning Joe today.
Paris is no longer the same city it was. They have sections in Paris that are radicalized where the police refuse to go there. They're petrified. The police refuse to go in there. We have places
It's the zones. It's the what is the Muslim zones?
Yeah, the Muslim safe zones. What is it called?
I don't know. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, what was that myth that was debunked 1,000 different times?
Yeah. The no-go zone. The no-go zones.
That's right. Trump continuing with the no-go zones myth from, you know, building a bridge to 2014. Because that's when we were talking about no-go zones and debunking that like over a year ago.
It feels like it.
It feels like forever
ago.
That might
have been this year, but it does feel like it.
Yeah, it just feels like a long, long time. Actually, you know what? It was this year because I remember Ben Carson talking about it. We didn't hear about Ben Carson until this year. Right. Ben Carson talking about the no-go zones. And then all of Europe had to line up and say, you know what? Your Republican Party is full of sh-ola. There is no such thing as no-go zones. So stop it. Stop doing this. And then investigative reporters from across the country flew over to Europe and tried to find the no-go zones, couldn't find a single goddamn no-go zone.
Yeah.
And here's Trump talking about, of course, no-go zones.
London and other places that are so radicalized that the police are afraid for their own lives. We have to be very smart and very vigilant. We have to find out who gave this guy $28,000, put it in his account. How many other $28,000 checks were made? Are there thousands all over the country? When you say you're afraid...
Yeah, by the way, you don't think that the CIA, the FBI, the NSA is on top of that?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, he's giving off this impression that everyone in this enormous federal government, this enormous bureaucracy that he's constantly talking about shrinking down, they're actually doing things with regards to, you know, counterterrorism, counter-espionage, trying to figure out where the terrorists are.
No.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether the president is a Republican or a Democrat, they're going to figure out where the terrorists are, and they're going to pursue the terrorists. I mean, again, they're talking about the guy who ordered the death of bin Laden as if, you know, what the Fox News guy this week called him a called Obama a
Yep.
Jesus Christ. I mean, all you hear about from the left is how Barack Obama is nothing but a bloodthirsty baby killer.
Yep. And then on the right, he's a
We're going to hear from Ted Cruz in a little bit. Ted Cruz has the latest over-the-top campaign ad in which he talks about killing the terrorists. He's going to kill all the terrorists, Ted Cruz.
Of course he is.
Here's the more of this Trump. Scarborough hits it out of the park here. It's not, I mean, credit where credit is due. You got to take your hat off to... Joe Scarborough.
Hey, I think you should be afraid. You should be afraid of the other side, not my side. Well, I want to get our hands around a very difficult situation.
All right, Donald.
Well,
you got to let us ask questions. Go you ahead. Can't just talk. No, you got to let us actually all ask right. questions. No. You're just talking.
Donald, you're not going to keep.
So, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when we had Dan Bedani on the show.
Yeah.
I'm just going, Dan.
Yeah,
Dan,
I mean, it's just
Dan.
Funny because it's the battle of the two people who never shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Joe Scarborough and Donald Trump.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and on our show, it was like Dan Bedani saying, shall not be infringed over and over again. And Chez and I just going, Dan. Yeah, yep. Shall not be. And of course, it was over his bad Skype connection. Like, shall not be infringed. Dan,
shall not be infringed. And all of those things.
Like Dan, I'm going to hang up on you, Dan. You know, Dan. So Trump is basically, I mean, cutting to the chase. Trump is Dan Bedani.
Talking, we will go to break. If you keep talking, we're going to ask you questions.
Go to break, everybody.
Go to break right now. We'll be right back with more Morning Joe.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the way to treat this troll. I mean, yeah, seriously?
Exactly.
Totally. That guy. I mean, it's not enough of the Republican, and there are a lot of people in the Republican Party standing up against Donald Trump right now, and not enough are doing it. I mean, yeah, we need
somebody,
more people.
Somebody made a really good point, and again, I do hate to be cynical, believe it or not, but somebody made a really terrific point about one of the dangers of that kind of response to Trump is that Trump is making people who would otherwise be known for the crazy shit that they say and do, he's making them seem sane.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, and I had to tell this person, we were talking on Facebook, good guy, and we were having a debate about it, and you know, he made that point. He's like, you know, now the world is looking at people like Paul Ryan and saying, oh, you know what, he's decent, he's sane. And it's like, oh, no. Yeah. They believe in a lot of the same stuff that Trump believes. They just know to dog whistle it instead of coming right out and saying it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even I think probably it's going to end up on the Postmortem show, but I want to play the clip of Jon Stewart from the Daily Show last night. Yeah, I want to play it basically in its entirety, where Jon Stewart made a case for renewing the James Zadroga healthcare bill for 9/11 heroes, and mentioned something about Paul Ryan being, you know, one of the sane ones. Which is, that's where we are now, where guys like, you know, Charles Krauthammer are suddenly sane in comparison to this guy.
Right.
And so that's why I still wonder if there's, you know, while we're seeing people like Lindsey Graham and Charles Krauthammer and Joe Scarborough, for example, representing a sane voice in the Republican Party, it's only sane insofar as it's being contrasted against Donald Trump. And I'm wondering if that sanity is not going to be as sane. If you took Donald Trump out of the equation, if they still wouldn't sound like crazy people, and they most likely would. They just seem less crazy because Donald Trump is so out there, off the rails, insane.
Right. But again, it needs to be pointed out, and no one will. I mean, we will. Yeah. Some people will, but they'll be considered partisans. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be pointed out that it was the environment fomented by people like Paul Ryan and his Tea Party uprising.
Oh yeah,
you know, he's a darling of that org, that entity. It was people like that created this nightmare. That created Donald Trump.
Oh God, yeah, yeah.
The Republican Party has been pandering to these fucking lunatics for how many years now?
Yeah.
And it's finally the chickens have come home to roost.
Well, Trump is the natural extension of what we saw throughout the 2000s with the Bush administration. Right. It's like perfectly in line, other than the fact that Donald Trump criticizes the Iraq war. I mean, you set that completely aside. The fact of the matter is that as far as all of this anti-Muslim xenophobia that's going on, and again, I'm not talking about my, you know, view of Islam or Chez's view of Islam, which is more along the lines of Bill Maher and Sam Harris. I'm talking about this kind of, and I really hesitate to use this word, this kind of fascist view.
But it is fascist.
Yeah.
It is fascist. You know, we've always said from the very beginning that I do think there's an issue with Islam. Mm-hmm. I think there's an issue with it as a – and I think that arguing that there is sort of – that at this point in time, right now, there is an issue with it singularly in religions throughout the world. Right now, again, this year, this era, I think there definitely is, and I don't think people should argue with that. That's my opinion. But I think demonizing all Muslims is just insane and stupid.
Right. We're going to take a short break and come back with this clip from Lindsey Graham, basically saying what you just said. Short break back after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our brand new Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon? It's not a Dan Bedani mispronunciation of the word patriot. It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll add more shows every week, eventually every weekday. Plus, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like post-mortem shows, not unlike Bill Maher's overtime segments, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. F***ing awesome. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Let's do this thing.
We'll be right back.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Little ditty for Chez Pazienza, sitting this way out, long distance, Western dedication.
You know, the sad thing is I actually really do love Christmas. I do.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'm an atheist, but it doesn't matter. You know, I love the feel of it, and I love the decorations and all. It's nice. This Christmas so far has been absolute crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not getting Inara, so I'm
not really
going to have that sort of that automatic thing that really sort of gets me in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
You know, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, so, I mean, I don't, you know, I got a big patio, really big patio.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I don't really have a lot of space to decorate or to really start putting up stuff. And quite frankly, Taryn and I are both way too busy. So, yeah, it just kind of feels like, you know. And I work from home. So what does that mean? I don't have a holiday party to go to.
Well, see, I mean, I've got all my
decorations. Why don't we have our own holiday party, Bob? Can we have a Bob and Chez Show holiday party?
Let's do that. Let's absolutely. We'll do.
Can we be like all corporate holiday parties these days, and not invite spouses?
Yeah, what
so
we'll
it's
do.
Just you and me. We can't invite plus one. It's just the two of us. We can't afford to have a plus one.
All right. So getting back to this this thing with Trump, Lindsey Graham was on the one of the morning shows today, and just lit in to Trump. I really enjoy seeing this. I kind of get. Basically, what Chez was saying before, that Lindsey Graham is, he wouldn't necessarily be saying this if he wasn't in last place running for president right now. I know I would argue that he's not running for president.
His lack of success in running for president has really kind of freed him to take the high road.
Yeah, totally. It frees him to have more
strength.
To stand up to Donald Trump with plenty of
strength.
That's right. Yeah,
because he doesn't need to pander. It's not going to do him any good.
Nope. Okay, here's Lindsey Graham on Donald Trump.
You know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald...
Yeah, you know what? If Lindsey Graham had started his campaign with that, you know how to make America great again? And his whole slogan should have just been... Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
That is good.
Lindsey Graham, 2016, tell Donald Trump to go to hell. I would support that. I would actually.
Meanwhile, when asked for comment, Dr. Ben Carson said, I believe that Donald Trump is actually a grain silo. He himself is a grain silo. And he was put here by Moses and Jesus.
That's right.
We haven't heard from him in a while.
Oh, we're going to hear from him today.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Ben Carson started talking about... Yes, Ben Carson started talking about rape today.
Oh, boy. It's always, always fun. Always a good time when the Republicans decide to talk about rape.
Yes. Violating the number one rule of Republican Party Fight Club. You never talk about rape. Republicans... Do not talk about rape. You see that R word floating around in your brain? You start picturing it like making its way down to your mouth hole? Shut up. Don't do it. Don't give in to the temptation to talk about rape. I'm not being sarcastic with this. This is my friendly advice to all Republicans. You want to win an election? You want to be seen as not a nincompoop? Do not talk about rape. Because whenever you talk about rape, whenever Republicans talk about rape, they make phenomenal asses of themselves. They just botch and bungle it. They trip over their own tongues and they say something stupid. And because, I mean, frankly, what they're doing is they're speaking the truth.
That's what I mean. That's what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. They're not. It's incredibly stupid objectively.
Yeah.
But it's to them. It makes perfect sense.
Okay. So we're going to play that tape of Ben Carson talking about rape again. Stupid. All right, here's the Lindsey Graham.
You know how you make America great again? tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
What is your reaction to hearing what Donald Trump says?
I'm disgusted. He is helping the enemy of this nation. He is empowering radical Islam. And if he knew anything about the world at all, you would know that most Muslims, they've died in by the thousands trying to combat this radical ideology. You're undercutting their efforts. You're slandering their sacrifice. You're marginalizing what they're trying to do to make the world a better place. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy. That is. That's strong words. Strong words from Miss Lindsay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for.
Doesn't represent the values?
The men and women who wear the uniform. And when I say uniform, I mean the cop uniform from the village people.
Strength.
So xenophobic. Doesn't represent our values.
That's, by the way, that's his favorite drag queen, xenophobic. I saw xenophobic perform with Jinx Monsoon and Chichi LaRue.
All those leather straps she was wearing. She just had a sword, carried a big sword, and was able to wield that sword like you wouldn't believe. It takes lots of strength to swing one of them swords around.
Strength.
All right. But you know what? Seriously, thank God for Lindsey Graham. There is at least one voice in the Republican Party. I would add him maybe in with two or three other Republicans who, when it comes down to the real serious issues, they tend to do the right thing. Like last week, we talked about Susan Collins and Mark Kirk, to a certain extent, Lisa Murkowski, all Republicans who tried to protect and defend Planned Parenthood last week against the will of their party, probably going to doom them next time they run for a re-election. Because as soon as the super PACs get a hold of those clips and that piece of legislation, the amendment they tried to add on to the budget reconciliation bill, trying to preserve Planned Parenthood, as soon as that's going to end up in all kinds of ads against them next time around.
Yeah.
So they really, I mean, you have to take your hat off to and applaud Republicans who actually step out and do this. And Lindsey Graham, you listen to him carefully, he's not saying anything differently than he said in the past. He's still a hawk times a thousand when it comes to the Middle East. He's still like a liberal interventionist. And I mean liberal in this with the small L. He still wants to firebomb Mecca, basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he understands that the kind of thing that Trump wants to do is not only harming innocent Muslims, but it's also harming his party. In the same way that Jez and I sometimes speak out against Democrats doing stupid things, I think it's the one thing we have in solidarity with Lindsey Graham, that we both recognize stupidity within our own parties.
Yeah.
But, in a few seconds here, we're going to play Ted Cruz. We're going to take a break, come back, and play Ted Cruz's new ridiculous commercial about killing all the terrorists.
Oh, man.
Ted Cruz, the Texas kicker, is really playing that card these days. Back with more show right after this. Today's Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by the Bob and Chez Show store at cafepress.com/Bob and Chez. Stock up and ready for holiday shipping. If you have a fan of the podcast on your shopping list, check out our variety of Bob and Chez Show logo items. Our store has something for everyone, from t-shirts to hoodies for both men and women, as well as shot glasses, beer mugs, messenger bags, and even Bob and Chez Show watches. And don't forget our exclusive Nyat and Who t-shirts. That's cafepress.com/Bob and Chez for your holiday shopping. Thank you for supporting the big show, and happy holidays.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Yeah,
no. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Don't forget, our pre-Christmas shows are brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. I was talking about at the top of the show. Here's all you got to do. You want to do all your shopping at Amazon.com, go to Amazon through our link. All that requires is, instead of clicking on Amazon.com, you go to BobSeska.com, and just below the logo, you'll see a link that says Amazon link. You click that, takes you right to the front page of Amazon. You can search around. You can find the crap that you want to buy. You buy all that stuff, and somehow it magically knows that you're doing it through our link, and therefore gives us a teeny tiny commission for everything you buy. And it costs you nothing extra. You save money. If you sign up for Amazon Prime, you get all kinds of free stuff there, including free shipping and movies and all that crap. And it helps support the show, too. So thank you in advance for that. Okay, so now Ted Cruz is trying to take a bite out of Donald Trump's momentum. by also talking about how he wants to kill all the terrorists. Here's Ted Cruz's latest campaign ad.
Under President Obama and Secretary Clinton, the world is more dangerous, and America is less safe. If I'm elected to serve as commander-in-chief, we won't cower in the face of evil. America will lead. We'll rebuild our military. We'll kill the terrorists. And every Islamic militant will know, if you wage jihad against us, you're signing your death warrant. And under no circumstances will I ever apologize for America. I'm Ted Cruz, and I approve this message.
And you know what? You know what the terrorists are saying when they hear Ted Cruz say that?
They're just laughing at him.
Yeah, knowing that he's so full of shit, it's just this.
Yeah. Did you see Ted Cruz's college roommate? The whole story with him.
Oh yeah, he's been tweeting like dirt about Ted Cruz.
Oh yeah, about what an absolutely, you know, even from day one he was this arrogant, obnoxious piece of shit who wore this paisley bathrobe and would go creep on women.
I can't even. I mean, that's exactly the right analysis. I mean, as far as Ted Cruz goes, he's just a creepy, like he's just slimy.
Yeah. Of course.
Here's some of the guy's name is Craig Mazin.
Yeah, he's a screenwriter.
He said, when Ted Cruz was my roommate, he'd endlessly hit the snooze button. I asked him to stop. He wouldn't, so I crazy glued it. # learn from this. In 1988, I puked all over Ted Cruz's textbooks. You jelly?
Awesome. Yeah, and I mean, I love how... I think he got into a conversation with like Patton Oswalt and a couple other people about Ted Cruz.
Really?
And he said he's like he hasn't changed one bit, not one bit. And he says my disgust for Ted Cruz has almost nothing to do with his political beliefs. He says I may not agree with his political beliefs. He says but I despise him purely because he's a horrible person.
Yeah, he is.
He
a
said even
person.
If I agreed with him, I would like him like 1% more.
He's a big phony baloney. He called Cruz. He used words like abrasive, intense, strident, crank, and arrogant.
Yeah,
four former classmates independently offered the word quote-unquote creepy.
Yep.
With some pointing to Cruz's habit of donning a paisley bathrobe and walking to the opposite end of their dorm's hallway where the female students lived. Quote, I would end up fielding the girls' complaints. Could you please keep your roommate out of our hallway? Mazin says. And the idea that his freshman roommate could someday be the leader of the free world? Quote, I would rather have anybody else be the president of the United States. Anyone, Mazin said. I would rather pick somebody from the phone book. Here's Mazin back in 2013 talking about Cruz on the Script Notes podcast. And you know, I want to be clear, because Ted Cruz is a nightmare of a human being. I have plenty of problems with his politics, but truthfully, his personality is so awful that 99% of why I hate him is just his personality. If he agreed with me on every issue, I would hate him only 1% less. That is effing awesome.
Oh, it's awesome, yeah.
That is awesome. All right. Well, that's, you know, and it's entirely accurate. Ted Cruz is a weaselly, slimy little guy.
Yeah, he is.
Wow! Powerful, horrible, today! Obamacare, hates law, strangles, unleashed, booming, Reagan!
Yeah, he's incredibly punchable. He's another one like Jesse Waters. He just, it's the smugness.
Yeah.
And he just needs to have somebody beat the fucking arrogance out of him.
It's the fake sincerity.
Yep. Oh yeah, totally, completely.
It's like, you know what, this car is going to last you another 100,000 miles.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's all these people are. And they're that way in more ways than one. They really are, because they're basically grifters anyway.
And you know what? He's just like a bad used car salesman. He's selling everybody a lemon. He's so full of crap. It's remarkable that anyone believes what he says. And it's also remarkable that he's in second place now.
But it's not remarkable. Think about who's in first place.
That's true. That is, yeah. Thank you. Okay. You're right. You're right.
It's not remarkable at all. Donald Trump is way ahead of him.
Yeah.
Like by a mile.
Jesus
Christ. So it makes perfect sense, actually. What, you know what? When you think about it, look at the poll numbers for Republicans. Mm-hmm. It's opposite. It's flipped upside down between who's most qualified and who's least.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are least qualified, who are the most disgusting, are at the top. They're the ones leading. The ones who are at least somewhat qualified, or the most qualified amongst the Republican clown car,
they're the ones at the very bottom.
Absolutely.
John Kasich, Miss Lindsay, they don't stand a chance.
No, certainly no one who's speaking any sort of sense.
It really scares me because I don't remember when I was growing up. I don't remember Republicans being this stupid.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I don't. I think, and you know, again, how many times have I said this now? I tend to draw a lot because I work in media, and I've worked in media for a long time. I tend to draw a lot back to media, but I genuinely think that what happened was the gatekeepers went away. And I think Fox News started pandering to the absolute most ignorant common denominator within the Republican Party. And talk radio began pandering to them. And it's given them an inordinate amount of power.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, well, this is not the Republican Party that I was a member of when I was a junior and senior in high school. I wasn't literally a member, but I mean, when I was a junior in high school, I founded the Republican, the Young Republican Club in my high school.
Did you creep on chicks wearing paisley bathrobe?
Yeah, there's nothing more attractive than being the head of a political club in high school. So it's like, back off, ladies, I'm taken. You know, it's just
so
like,
you were that, and you listened to Rush. Oh man, you never got laid.
Depends on who you ask. All right. But no, I mean, it's seriously, I became interested in politics.
What, did you like roofie some of them or something?
Yeah, it was just like a complete like a Cosby situation. Come on, join the Republican Club and I'll slip you a Mickey.
That's the way it is now.
But I mean, when I first became involved in politics, the vice presidential candidate, you know, this is 1988, was Dan Quayle. And Dan Quayle, in comparison to the artists in the Republican Party now, looks comparatively like a genius. Now, Dan Quayle was an idiot. Don't get me wrong. Dan Quayle was not intellectually curious. He was kind of a moron. Well, he wasn't kind of a moron. He was a moron. But he wasn't insane. He wasn't an insane demagogue, at least compared to the people that you see in the party now, who are both inarticulate and full of nincompoopery, but they're also insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm looking at Ben Carson as I say that right now. Speaking of which, we're going to play this Ben Carson audio here in a second. Ben Carson starts talking about rape, and it doesn't end well. Short break, one last break, back after this. Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap, too. And at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's BobAndChez, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to the show, our Tuesday show this week. Thank you for joining us.
Karen owes me $5.
Yeah. Because why? Because you guessed that the story was inaccurate?
No, because you played Rush.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, that's easy to predict considering what happened in the news yesterday. No, Rush is not disbanding. Rush is still together. I'm pretty sure they're going to record at least one new album at some point in the not-too-distant future. But the story that came out yesterday about Neil Peart retiring was not entirely accurate. I mean, he was speaking off the cuff, talking about how his daughter perceived him. And he's not. They're retiring basically from touring. I mean, the whole band is. And I think that's what he was talking about in this quote from Drumhead magazine. And so I think today Geddy Lee came out and said, No. We're not going to be touring like we used to anymore. That's what Neil was talking about. We're not disbanding. So I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God. We'll at least get one more album out of Rush. And I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm very glad that they're not going to disband. Okay. So moving along here to Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, who's a big moron. Dr. Ben Carson decided, and again, this guy's a doctor. He knows about human anatomy and the way things work inside a woman's body. Now, maybe he's not as familiar with everything from, you know, the brainstem on down. But in order to get to the point of being a world-renowned brain surgeon, you kind of have to have a knowledge of what else goes on inside the body besides just the brain. And Ben Carson decided that what he thinks should happen is if you get raped, the federal government or your state government should force you to birth your racist or your rapist's baby. Or your racist baby. I mean, either way, if you happen to have a racist baby.
If you happen to get raped by Donald Trump.
If you have a sense that your fetus is racist. No, if you get raped, then.
And the whole time he's raping you, he's just. And you know, honestly, we're doing very, very well in the polls. And yeah, people are telling me I'm the greatest. They say that I'm one of the smartest people they've ever met. And
I'll rape you so good your head will fall off. That's terrible.
I'm very good at rape. I really am. People tell me I'm the best at rape.
I'll be so good at rape, you'll be tired of raping. Jesus Christ. So Ben Carson thinks that there should be no exceptions for abortion, that even if you're the victim of rape and incest, that you should go ahead and have that baby. Because there's nothing greater in this world than spending the next 40 years of your life staring into the eyes of your rapist's child.
That won't be sheer trauma.
No, not at all. Not at all. Here's ambient sleepwalking victim Ben Carson.
I can safely say I'm the only one who's ever saved anybody's life. The only one who's operated on premature babies all night long to save them.
Oh, my God. Keeps going to that well. I once separated Siamese twins, too. It was kind of amazing that I'm able to do that. That qualifies me to talk about anything. I once stayed up all night long. And believe me, there are very few wide awake people in that operating room. Patient was sleeping. Nurses were sleeping.
Are we sure he actually separated conjoined twins?
I think he did, yeah. He separated.
Maybe honestly, he put the entire operating theater to sleep, and then he brought in somebody else.
Two lookalike babies.
Yeah, he brought it. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he got rid of those, the conjoined twins. He got rid of that, and then brought in two little twins that seem to be separated. Either that or he got somebody else. He brought in somebody else to do it.
All right, I'm here in my operating theater, and everyone's almost asleep. Okay, got that one nurse in the corner. She's still nodding off a little bit. Okay, you can go to sleep now. All right, she's asleep. Taking that Z train to Snoozeville. Okay, now. All right, bring in the replacement babies. Take these conjoined freaks out of here.
I love how far off the rails we've gone in like a matter of a minute.
Put bandages on their head. I'll take this Sharpie marker and draw an incision on their head, and then you put bandages on there. We'll put some ketchup in. Make it look like they did some surgery on their heads.
Comes out there, I'm a genius, everyone.
Now, Paper Willie, bring in those extra replacement babies.
You motherfucker! I'm not going to be part of your fucking ruse!
Oh, Paper Willie, you're supposed to help me out. I'm the greatest brain surgeon in the world. I once worked all night long. Well, you get back in my pocket, Paper Willie.
Fuck you!
All right. Here's, let's... we barely even started the Ben Carson tape. Here's Ben Carson talking about how rape victims should have... should be forced by the government to have their babies.
The only one who's operated on babies inside of the womb, the only one who's come up with new techniques and procedures to save lives, over which I got a lot of controversy early on, but now many of those things have become standard procedure that continue to save lives all over the world. So there should be no question about where I stand on the life issue. And I would say, in general, You know, it's very easy to sit around and talk about stuff. Let's see what people actually do. That's where you should judge somebody. What do they do? Not what people say that they have said.
And just very clearly, what is your position on abortion?
My position is that abortion should not be done. I believe that it's murder. And I've said that many times. And I don't think that's hateful speech. That's just telling.
It's not. It's totally not hateful speech to say that abortion is murder. When basically you're suggesting that a pregnant woman
who gets an abortion is guilty of murder,
and especially a pregnant woman who has been raped, who goes into a clinic to receive a legal medical procedure as sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court, is now committing murder and in some states could be executed for that crime. So maybe it's not illegal to the point of execution, but it's morally on the same level as, say, a drunk driver who plows into a family of five in a car. And it's actually worse than that. Kills everyone in the car. That's what Ben Carson's saying. Criminalize abortion. Criminalize abortion doctors. Criminalize women who seek abortion. And even women who are experiencing one of the worst traumas any human being can endure, which is being the victim of a rape.
Yep.
That's what Ben Carson is saying. The compassionate brain surgeon, Dr. Ben Carson, who has operated on a fetus in utero, wants to tell you, with his small government conservatism, that the federal government that he would ostensibly be in charge of is going to tell you what you can and can't do with something that is inside of your body. I'm speaking now in much more general terms, but there is no equivalent on the male side of the government wanting to, or anyone who's aspiring to be in government, wanting to control something that's inside of a man's body.
And it would be different if that were the case.
Of course it would. Yeah. I mean, just going back to the old meme, I mean, if it was, you know, if men could get pregnant, it would be like a sacrament to have an abortion. It'd be one of those things that you could just go to like a McDonald's drive-thru. Yeah, I'll have the supersized fries and I'll pull around for an abortion. Oh, great. Yeah, please pull around.
I'm loving it.
You deserve a break today and an abortion. Yeah, I'm loving it, right? Jesus Christ. Here's more Ben Carson.
The truth.
Including in cases of rape and incest?
Including cases of rape and incest. You know, I know people who are the result of rape. You know, James Robinson, the evangelist, the televangelist, was the result of a rape. And,
yeah, that's definitely a reason to keep around rape babies.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. A flim-flam artist.
A televangelist. Awesome. Yeah. Terrific example. Thanks.
By the way, again, he said that abortion is murder. Bear that in mind. Now, what? This guy didn't ask Ben Carson about the exception with regard to the life of the mother. But if abortion is murder, isn't it murder across the board, even if it's done to save the life of the mother? Or is that,
you have to have your moral conundrum.
Yeah, or is that justifiable homicide? I mean, what are we going to call it now? Saving the life of the... And, you know, here's the thing about this, too. Here we are swatting down the idea of abortion in the case of a rape or in the case of incest. But we shouldn't be having that discussion. This is how the anti-choice people win these arguments. This is how they end up passing all of these bills in various state legislatures restricting abortion access.
Because people who are pro-choice hedge.
Yeah, well, we not only hedge, but we end up spending a lot of time swatting down the idea that, oh, whether abortion should be legal in cases of rape, rather than saying that, you know what, no, abortion is a human right.
Yeah.
As sanctioned by the Supreme Court.
It's a right of a woman, period.
It's the inside of a woman's body where there is a being growing in there. And as long as it is attached to the inside of that woman's body, it is basically her purview. It is her property. It is her personal privacy as far as what dictates her morality, what dictates how she wants to continue about her future. This is a human right to have an abortion regardless of the circumstances. I mean, we shouldn't be having these discussions about all these different exceptions and what about this case and what about that case. It is just something that people should have basic control over. And there are medical clinics and doctors, professionals who perform this procedure for a fee that is perfectly legal, then women should be allowed to do that. And if you don't want to do it, then don't have it done. If Ben Carson doesn't like abortion, then Ben Carson shouldn't have an abortion. Especially these small government yahoos who think that we should eliminate all of these federal departments and agencies. Then believe that the federal government should be able to determine what happens inside of people's bodies. That is horseshit. That is horseshit. Okay. Well, thank you, Ben Carson. Ben Carson on his way to obscurity. This is what this is exactly what Ben Carson's doing right now. He knows he's losing. He knows his poll numbers are declining. He's going to be down there in the 0%, 1%, 2% with Lindsey Graham before too long. It's because the Republicans they actually do have a threshold for stupidity, and it is Ben Carson. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to pull out all the stops and make one last ditch effort to appeal to the wingnut base, to pander to the bubble, and hope that it will somehow resuscitate his failing campaign. And so what is he doing? He's doing it on the backs of rape victims. Classy guy. Again, another example. Republicans, do not talk about rape. Because you always sound like monsters.
You people are sick.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so one last thing before we move on to the post-mortem show. Eric Erickson, the talking thumb, thinks it's awesome.
Oh, stop it. He's a good-looking man.
Talking thumb. He thinks it's appropriate to literally shoot bullets into a copy of the New York Times. Because clearly words and logic are just icky and confusing. So he was pissed off. The New York Times published an anti-gun editorial on the front page. It was one of the rare occasions where they put an editorial on the front page. And so Eric Erickson's response was to fire bullets into the editorial and then post pictures of it on Facebook. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, on Twitter. And then, of course, he proceeded to get all kinds of flamed on Twitter. And appropriately so. Because this is what they... I mean, now every time we turn around, isn't there another campaign commercial with a Republican firing bullets into the... like Rand Paul was shooting on several occasions, mind you, shooting the tax code? Yeah. This is how they be... This is like... You know what this is like? This is like an eight-year-old... doing poorly in a game of Monopoly or losing in a video game and chucking the controller across the room and storming off.
Of course. Yeah, I think you said it best. This is the new thing for them.
Yeah.
They can't use words, so they just shoot things. Make it go away. Ah!
Right. I mean they've put the they've put Obamacare into wood chippers. They've shot Obamacare on numerous occasions.
We have an entire party in this country that is now, the monkeys throwing bones at the monolith at the beginning of 2001.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. You know, one of the reasons why little children scream and throw tantrums is because they can't articulate the things that they want. And that frustrates their little forming human brain. And so they lash out, and they spit, and they bite, and they scratch, and they scream bloody murder. We've all seen it. It's because they can't say the words. They don't know how to generate the words to voice sadness or frustration or anger. The Republicans are acting in an infantile way. They are taking firearms. They say, you know what? I don't like that thing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to shoot it. And that'll send a message. And what's that message? Well, I'm a little f***ing whiny diaper baby. That's what I am. That's the message. Because that's what everyone's getting. I don't know. Everyone goes, oh, yeah, this is Eric Erickson. What a bold move to, shoot a copy of the New York Times. I'm with that guy. And I'm standing in solidarity with Eric Erickson. Where's my AR-15? I'm going to shoot something. Honey, bring out a copy of the Washington Post. I'm going to shoot that. Can you get the digital edition on my Kindle and set that up on the Target? I'm going to shoot that.
Are you sure you want to shoot your Kindle?
F*** that thing. I'm going to shoot it with my gun.
But it's your Kindle.
I don't care. I'm shooting it. I'm standing in solidarity with Eric, son of Eric, and Rand Paul. Got to shoot something because I can't find the words to properly express my opinion in a constructive way. All right, Postmortem Show is next. Lots to talk about. Everything we didn't get to on the free show here, we're going to talk about how a white supremacist blew his own leg off. And of course, the clip of Jon Stewart on The Daily Show from last night, well worth listening to. It's a must-listen clip. See you on the Postmortem Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chess. Bye-bye.
It's not a tumor.